Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Notice here what good and evil are paired with, and I want to start in verse number 15 of Deuteronomy 30. He says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." If you're one that takes notes, in your notes, create two columns where you have a heading on either side of two columns, and let those two columns be life and death. And notice here in Deuteronomy verse 15 of chapter 30, he said, "I have set before you life and good." Say that out loud. Life and good, and what else? Death and evil. So notice that in the life column comes good, and in the death column comes evil. Well, he goes further. Watch verse 19. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death." I have established in front of you life and death. But not just life and death, blessing and cursing. So if you're taking notes on those columns under life, put good, and then you can put blessing. And then on the right-hand column, wherever you've got death, under that put evil, and then you can put cursing. They all come up under one of these two. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." And then God is so good, he says, "Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live." If you would, turn with me to the New Testament now. I want to go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter number 8. So God has said in his word, "I've set before you life and death. I've set before you good and evil. I've set before you blessing and cursing." And then in essence, he's saying it's your choice. I give you the choice between these two. And I want to simplify this, because ultimately what he is saying is there is a choice we make between life and death. And with that life choice comes blessing. And with that life choice comes good. And then there's the choice of death. And with that death choice comes cursing. And with that death choice comes evil. And so when you look at this study that we've been in between good and evil, I wanted to today broaden that concept of good and evil and see what all that entails. That the reason there is this conflict between good and evil is because it is a simple war between life and death. Now you might read that and say, "Well, that's in the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian." Well, I hear what you're saying. But that's why I had you go to Romans chapter 8, because you're going to see the same thing here. Now, if you look in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When I read in a King James Bible, and it's the reason I preach and study from a 1611 King James Bible, don't get mad at me, it's just, well, that's my choice. I stick with the original. In a King James Bible, you'll notice there's italicized words. Those italicized words are put there saying this was not in the original text. This has been added. And so what the first word in verse 1 is actually therefore. And the reason I say that is because anytime you read a scripture that begins with the word therefore, help me, church, therefore must be therefore a reason. I wouldn't walk up to you and my first word be therefore. Therefore is saying there's a context, there's an understanding that's been given, therefore, and then it's built upon. So that word therefore in chapter 8, verse 1 is connecting what he's getting ready to say to what he just said. And the reason why this is important is because when you back up into that 7th chapter, the Apostle Paul, by God's Spirit, is dealing with the conflict between good and evil. And he makes it personal to the point that he says this in verse number 19. He says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Can we all read that verse out loud and see if we relate? Ready? Read. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Has anybody up in here ever had a problem with that right there? Well, the good that you wanted to do, you didn't do. And the evil you said you were never going to do again, you did again. Okay, three of y'all, I cannot believe you guys today in the Lord's house lying like a rug. You know good and well, we've all had that conflict. So many times you set out to do good and you didn't do it. So many times you made those resolutions about what you wouldn't do no more. And that resolution that you made January 1st, didn't you make it to Valentine's Day? So Paul's dealing in the seventh chapter with this conflict that exists within between good and evil, that they are at odds against one another. And he can't seem to find this power to do the good that he chooses to do, nor can he find the power not to do the evil that he chooses not to do. But notice what he says in chapter 8, because the page turns. He's found the answer. And he says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now read verse 2 out loud with me. Ready? Read. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So if you're one that writes in your Bibles or you're highlighting your Bibles, highlight, underline, circle the word life in verse 2. Highlight, circle, or do something with the word death in verse 2. Because he just brought up that there are two laws. There is the law of life in Christ Jesus, and then there is the law of sin and death. And he's saying that Jesus, by his Spirit, gives me the power to walk free from the law of sin and death, enabling me to walk in the law of life in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read the Bible and you see the word law, you know, you tend to make that like commandments or rules. But here in Romans 8, verse 2, he's not talking about commandments or rules. He's talking about a system. He's talking about a law that is a spiritual law that is always in operation, like our law of gravity. The law of gravity works for everybody the same way. You can be tall or short, big or little, you can be old or young, you can be whatever, and the law of gravity will work for you, all right? The law of gravity is no respecter of persons, it's a law. It says whatever, you know, if I drop off this platform, the law of gravity says I'm gonna hit the ground right there. All right, now, that's the law of gravity. God's talking about two spirit laws called the law of life and the law of sin and death. And I know by what I've already read in Deuteronomy 30 that the law of life is where we see good. And the law of life is where we see blessing. And the law of death is where we see evil. And the law of death is where we see curses. Now, if you had to make a decision today over your life, whether or not you would have life and blessing and good, or whether you would have death, curses, and evil, which choice would you make? I pray that you would say, I choose life. But everybody doesn't have good sense. And we don't have good sense all the time. And I'm going to show you in the Word that from the very beginning, man has not had good sense when it came to these two decisions because of the deceptive power of the enemy. People will actually choose death, evil, curses over life, good, and blessing. Let me show it to you in the Word. Go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter number 2. God makes it very simple in his Word. It's not very complicated. So I want you to think about right now in your life and all around you and in this world, there's a law of life that's in operation. And that law of life brings about a blessing. That law of life is where you see good, where good is empowered. And then simultaneously, there is a law of death. There is a law of death. And that's where evil is advanced, and that's where curses come from. And they're both operating simultaneously, and you are one decision away from one or the other. Matter of fact, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm one decision away from life and death. I'm one decision away from blessing and cursing. You say it could not be that simple. It is that simple, and I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Watch this in Genesis, and I want to go to the second chapter. We're going back to the very beginning, where God created man and placed him as a subordinate king on planet Earth. Watch this in Genesis 2. If you're there, say amen. All right, watch this. So we'll see here in verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That word breath in Hebrew is ruach. Ruach. It's the same word spirit. When you read of the Spirit of God, that same word comes up. When God breathed into man, that was God giving him spirit life. See the breath of God and the Spirit of God as one and the same, because they are. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God made his creation. He looked back at it and said it was good. We see that he made trees pleasant to the sight. That's why we enjoy looking at nature. You ever thought about that? We enjoy seeing nature because God made it attractive to the eye. Hallelujah. And he made the tree to these trees to yield fruit, and the fruit that came from the tree was good for food. There was no poisonous bananas here. All right? And in the middle of the garden where he had placed man, he put two trees. You may have never noticed this before, but in the midst of the garden, the Bible says there are two trees here. There is the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's talk about this tree of the knowledge of good and evil real quick. I think some of us have this mindset that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was this mysterious tree that had mystical powers, that if you ate of its fruit, something happened, you know, where all this stuff went on, and then all of a sudden you knew evil. And maybe, you know, you look different than you did before you ate it, like something you've seen in a cartoon. No, there was nothing about this tree that was poisonous. There was nothing about this tree that was mystical, that gave power to evil if Adam were to eat of it. No, I'm going to show you that the only thing that separated this tree from any other tree was that God told man not to eat of this tree. That's the only thing that's going to separate this tree, is that God says, this tree is mine. Don't eat of this tree. This tree has the power to show you good and evil. How? Don't eat of it, you see good. Eat of it by breaking my commandment, you see evil. It had the power of good and evil because it was the only tree that had a commandment on it. Is that making sense to anybody in here? The tree itself doesn't have this mystery, this mystical ability. The tree itself is just the only one that's been given a commandment. Let's go and look at it so you'll see it in context. See, watch verse number 16, same chapter, Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now that's important that you see this. In verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every tree. But, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what? Die. Now, right next to that tree we just read was the tree of life. Now, God said, here's the tree of life. Here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, both in the middle of the garden. God says, this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat of this tree. I command you not to eat of it. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. But God says, all other trees you may freely eat. So question for you, was man permitted to eat from the tree of life? Yes, he could eat from the tree of life. Was man to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What would happen if he ate of it? So we could call that tree the tree of death.
No, Pastor, I've read the scripture and it says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, thou student of the word. What happens if you eat of that tree?
Well, you will die.
Okay, then it's a tree of death. If I was growing up a little boy and I had a tree in my neighborhood, and if everybody ate of that tree, died, then I would say, hey, stay away from that. That's tree of death right there, man. What you mean? Everybody eats of that, dies. Tree of death. What I'm trying to get you to see is from the very beginning, God made it so simple. He gave a tree called life, and he gave a tree that brought death, and he said, don't choose this tree, it brings death, but this one you can freely eat of. Can everybody see how simple that is? Now, we're blessed to have a school here, preschool all the way through 12th grade. And for me, that is one of the greatest honors of my life is what goes on at Word of God Academy. And on Wednesdays, you know, I get to do chapel and minister to all of our students. And sometimes I'll go in and pop into classrooms, and teachers have invited me to come do Q&A, and I'll get to go to the kindergarten class or the first grade class. And it never fails, so I'm going to get this question. I don't know why, but I'm going to have a young one ask me, Pastor James, why did God create evil? Why did God create the devil? I'm like, why you got to ask those hard questions at your age? How come you can't ask me what 2 + 2 is? What comes after the book of Matthew? What city was Jesus born in? How come we got to go there? It's such an important question. I'm being silly. It is a good question. It's a question that I want to answer for you today. Because what God is doing here in the beginning with man is the same thing he's doing with you right now, is he's given us a choice. Good and evil is simply a choice. It's a choice between life and death. It's a choice between blessing and cursing. And I'm going to show you that there's so much to this choice that the enemy does not want us to see. Now, God has established this tree called life, and he's established this tree that if you eat of it, the penalty is death. So what does the enemy do with this? What comes of this tree? We see in chapter 3 that the enemy comes in the first part of chapter 3, and he's not talking to Eve about the tree of life. He's asking her, hey, look what he does in verse 3, or verse 1. He says, yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, can't you eat of all these trees? The woman said, yeah, we can eat of all the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. There is no tree of death. That's what he's saying right there. There is no tree of death. Thou shalt not surely die. There's a tree of life. And then there's a tree of, and notice what he's going to do. Notice the spin he's going to put on it. He says, your eyes will be open if you eat of this tree. You'll be wise if you eat of this tree. This tree is good for food. This tree will make you like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll be able to make decisions for yourself. You don't need a God telling you what is good and what is evil. You make these decisions. Sound like the same lie the devil's selling today, isn't it? Now, you may not believe what I'm getting ready to tell you, and that's why I'm going to show you the scripture to back it up. When mankind, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death, they had yet to eat from the tree of life. The tree called life, they hadn't even eaten from it. Do you hear me? You got a tree in the middle of the garden called the tree of life, and you ain't ate from it? How could you have a tree that God says this one's called the tree of life?
You would think you would say, I believe I receive.
You would think before you ate of anything, you would have eaten from the tree of life. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know they didn't eat from the tree of life? I'm about to show you they had not eaten of it. Because this tree, as I'm getting ready to show you in Genesis 3, and is also proven in Revelation chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, this tree has the power to give eternal life. So watch what happens. Let's go to chapter 3, and we'll look at it in verse number 24. So man would eat of the tree of death, tempted after being deceived, because that's Satan's method of operation. He deceives, he tempts, and then he accuses. He can't tempt you till he deceives you. And that's what he's doing with the world today, is he is deceiving the world to believing there is no consequence to evil. There's no death, there's no penalty, there's no curse. Whatever feels good to you, do it. Be what you want to be, do what you want to do. That's his lie. Because if he can advance deception, then he can bring temptation. Deception, temptation, that's his method. He deceived Eve and then he tempted her. The crazy thing is, then he comes back and accuses you. Oh, look what you did. You low-down dog, and you say you love the Lord, and you call yourself saved, and you think you're going to pray right now, and you call yourself reading the Bible. Oh, look at your life. Look at what you've done. You can't be saved. You can't know the Lord. See, that's what Satan says. After he deceives you, after he tempts you to do all the things that are wrong and injure your life, then he just comes back and says, look what you have done. So watch this. Watch what God had to do after man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Why would God not let man get near the tree of life? The answer is back up in verse 22. Watch verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That's why God had to separate man from the tree of life. Why? Because man, if he would have eaten of that tree at that time, he would have been eternally stuck in that state. A fallen state, an evil state, a broken state, a separated state from God, an evil state. God said, I can't let him eat of this eternal fruit because I don't want him to be eternally bound to this condition. So God guarded the tree of life and separated man from it. You know what that tells me? That tells me that no matter what your life may look like right now, no matter what you may have been going through in your life, no matter whether you be old or young, God is saying, I don't want it to always be bad for you. I don't want you to be stuck in this condition for the rest of your life. He's such a good God. Amen.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, visit our website at wogm.com. I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.